We just want to thank you, everyone, for all your prayers and everything you've done to keep serving the Lord.
Amen.
And we're getting better. Don't have much strength yet, but we are coming out of things. Doctor's been monitoring us, but your prayers have been fantastic. From the Word of God says that no weapon formed against us will prosper. He's talking about the body of Christ. And if we come under attack, we come under attack, but no weapon formed is going to take us out. And we felt your prayers through all this. And our brother Danny, he's in the hospital right now. He's coming through a pneumonia, COVID pneumonia. Talked to him this morning. He's getting stronger. Getting strengthened and stuff. So, again, I've been kind of out of things for the last couple of weeks. I want to say that those who have been helping out here in the ministry, thank you. And I haven't bought supplies for a while, so anything that we owe you for napkins or paper plates or food, please let us know. It'll still be a little... We're going on right now to get strengthened again, to get back into the swing of things. I'm not ever getting back into the swing of things as swinging. I got to slow down. You know, all of us have to slow down. And so we'll be working that on the weeks ahead of time. But I know it's kind of hard to hear me. I lost my voice for a while. It's coming back. A blessing through all of this is that Carol lost her sense of smile for a while. And one of the things that we're participating in to get stronger is eating protein. And I've been eating a lot of hard-boiled eggs. That's been a blessing to her that she had no idea. But, again, through your prayers, and I mean, you're just constantly contacting us and helping us. You never know. But we want to come in and gather this morning to worship the Lord and just encourage one another as you've encouraged us. I mean, I don't know, just to be at home and not feeling well, and have other members in our church not feeling good and going through it. And just, you know, like, oh, okay, God, we got to do something. And then God just spoke to me and said, what do you mean we got to do something? Ain't I God? Do I hear your prayers? Do I hear the prayers of your people? And so it's awesome to know that even our toughest times is that we turn to God. He intercedes for us.
Amen.
And His word is true. His word is true. And He brings us through these things. He does. And Him and I have been talking a lot. And just know that the body of Christ is getting stronger and stronger. And truly, any weapon formed against us is not going to prosper. God made a covenant in the United States of America several hundred years ago, and that covenant is still in effect today. Ain't no devil from hell is going to try to take it out. He ain't going to touch it. We have to stand firm on the Word of God. We have to stand firm and speak His Word out, and don't let the things that you see going on make you weave back and forth. Don't ever think that God is not in control of this country as we gave it to Him. As we allow Him to work through us and speak through us.
Amen.
To stand for righteousness, stand for holiness. God is the God of the heavens. He created the stars and the moon and everything. It all belongs to Him. And He created us and gave us control of it. And praise God that through the last several weeks and last several months of our nation, the reset's taken place and people's eyes are being opened and realize how much we've been bamboozled and how much we have got relaxed in our own relationship with God and how we took so many things for granted and how we allow things to, we kind of turn our backs on things. I know, but you know. This political correctness and stuff. But you know, God has done a reset. He's raising His people up. He's raising His people. I'm telling you what. He's raising up this nation again. And what this enemy has come to attack.
He just woke up.
God's wrath. God's wrath. So don't be alarmed. Don't be discouraged. Don't think, man, where's our God? I'm telling you what. The devil's playing into his hands. He's shown all his cards. And I'm telling you, that will be his destruction. We are to stand firm on him. Stand firm on the Word of God. Don't compromise and do not get weary. Do not get weary. And continue to support one another. Prayer, intercession, encouragement. Oh, wow. It's going to be quite a revival, guys. Quite a revival. It's awesome. I don't know how many people here have been through COVID or not, but I just want to share. If you care, I just share my heart a little bit this morning.
Why don't you sit down and hear?
Is that okay? I just want to... it's kind of strange because... my cry out to the Lord for the last 3 months has been, or greater, is, God, I want compassion back into my life. I was getting to the point of going through the routine of the ministry. And lacking more and more compassion. I wasn't looking to the heart of God. I wasn't looking to how God can reach out to those in need. I just kept seeing people coming for their need, but not for God. And my cry was, God, I need that compassion. I need to see beyond the physical. If I can say, renew my spirit, God. And He has. He has. Truly, this is this battle of powers and principalities that we've been going through. And when I came down a few weeks ago not feeling well, I kept putting it off. But anyway, finally my wife took me to the doctors. I mean, we went. But it's kind of devastating in a way because you get knocked off your feet like this. But what kept coming back to my mind is that no weapon formed against us will prosper. That greater the He that's in us than he that's in the world. We lost our appetite. In case you guys go through this, we lost our strength. And a great thing that came upon us, kept battling us, was depression. Again, I mean, you get in your head. There you are, a child of God, a woman of God. And we'll look at where we're at today. You know, and the devil gets in your head. And he starts trying to tell you all these things. But I want to thank God and give Him the glory for His Word, because His spoken Word is stronger than anything the devil can come up with. And the prayers of the saints, when you guys pray for us, we felt the prayer, we felt being lifted up. We'd be sitting there, man, nothing, and then they energize, and we'd be sitting on our recliner, our arms up, praising the Lord and worshiping Him, and then listen to the Scriptures and speaking His Word out. And it just reaffirming our spirit. Our physical was weak, but our spirit was growing more and more and more. And so through that, it was times that, I mean, we just sat around and we would cry. I mean, it just something would come over us. But then God would lift us up again. And then again, the phone calls, the texts, the cards, just amazing. Little things. Things that you all do that you think maybe not, doesn't mean anything. It means so much. Prayers coming up, just checking. I mean, it's just amazing. But again, we're on the backside of this. Getting stronger, spiritually and physically. Don't ever be afraid when you go through something to reach out. Don't ever say, I need prayer, and say, man, this thing is getting on top of me. It does not mean that you're weak. It means that you're under attack. And when Satan attacks one of us, he attacks the whole body. The whole body. And he cannot handle the body of Christ. I don't mean to talk so much, but I just wanted to share. And then here in the ministry, you guys continue to feed those in need and reach out to those. God won't be stopped. He will not be stopped. But I did have one scripture I'd like to share with you this morning. Is that okay? And I just want to, this has been really speaking to me. I'm in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, and I just want to share this chapter. I mean, it's for us when we continue to look at the world the way it is. And you see these things every day that's like detrimental to what we believe and the establishment of our country. But again, I said earlier, remember that God has established the heavens and the earth. And He has established this world. And He has a covenant with America. And that covenant will not be broken. But in chapter 3, if I may read it to you, it says, "Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled, the tyrannical city. She heeded no voice, she accepted no instructions. She did not trust in the Lord, she did not draw near to her God. Her princesses within her are roaring lions, her judges are wolves at evening. They leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are reckless, treacherous men. Her priests have profaned the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The Lord is righteous within her. He will do no injustice. Every morning He brings His justice to light. He does not fail. But the unjust knows no shame." He's talking about right now in our country. He's talking about those who are defiling His word, coming against Him, not honoring Him. And right now we think, man, they are in control, they are running things. But this is not going unnoticed by our God. Understand that? No. He's not going unnoticed. He says in verse 6, "I have cut off nations." God has seen nations raise up against Him. He's seen nations rebellious against Him, and He's cut off the nations. God's in control. God has the power. He'll have no man take away what He has given us. "Their corner towers and ruins. I have made their streets desolate." That's what they are looking at. There will be desolate. And we see that happening today. What they are doing, what the devil is acting upon these men and women, it will be desolate. They will come to their ruins. Their obnoxiousness. Their love of the root of the love of money. It will be their destruction. They will destroy themselves. "With no one passing by, their cities are laid waste, without a man, without an inhabitant. I said, surely you will revive me. Accept the instruction. So her dwelling will not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed concerning her. But they were eager to corrupt all their deeds." But they were eager to corrupt. And we see that corruption today. It does not go unnoticed by God. It has not escaped His hand. It has not escaped His eyesight. God sees what's taking place. And Father, be with emergency personnel right now in Jesus' name. Then God declares in verse 8, "Therefore wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up to the prey. Indeed, my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation. All my burning anger for all the earth will be devoured by the fire of my zeal. For then I will give to the people purified lips, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord to serve Him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Euphrates, my worshippers, my dispensed ones, will bring my offerings." His people, he said, they will bring my offering sacrifice of praise and worship. In that day you will feel no shame because of all your deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proud, exalting ones, and you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. He says, I will remove from your midst the proud and the exalting ones. And we see that spirit of pride across our nation right now in a rebellious way like we've never seen before. But in verse 12, I will leave you among a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, for they shall feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. He says there, folks, that in our mouths, in our speech, there shall be no lie. We shall speak the truth. We shall not have deceitful tongues. We not shall have forked tongues. We shall speak the truth. We are not like the world. We are not like those right now coming against God. We stand upon His truth and we speak His truth. And we will not bow down to the lowlessness. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout and trumpet, O Israel. Rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away His judgments against you. He has cleansed away your enemies. Think of that. We have been crying out for 2 years. If my people are called by my name and humble themselves and seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear in heaven and heal their land. He's healing our land. He says, I've taken away my judgments against you. For even our own rebellious act that we had, thinking that we were very holy indeed, God has forgiven us. He is honoring us. He made a covenant with Solomon, and it's still in effect today, that He is healing our land. He has cleared away your enemies, the King of Israel. The Lord is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. In that day it will be said to Jerusalem, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. Verse 17, and I'm almost done. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. He will be quiet in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. I will gather those who grieve about the appointed feast. They came from you, O Zion. The reproach of exile is a burden on them. Behold, I am going to deal at that time with all your oppressors. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that He is going to deal with our oppressor. I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will turn their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, even at the time when I gather you together. Indeed, I will give you renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth. When I restored your fortune before your eyes, thus says the Lord. Amen and amen. And that is His promise. This haughtiness that's going on is limited. This haughtiness will take themselves down. And their ignorance and their pride, they boast themselves above the God of all creation, it will be their demise. We are to stand firm on His word, believe in His word, and speak His word out, that this nation shall continue to glorify God and will continue to walk in His covenant to His glory. Another nation will see, look at the hand of our God. Look at the hand of Yahweh. Look what He has done. Things that will be taking place will bring God and only God the glory. Because it has to be God. As no man can do this. It's God's word working through His people. So I just wanted to gather this morning and encourage you. And then we are on the upswing, that this thing is being played out exactly the way God said. And it says in the Word of God, and I just had a text this morning, it says, woe to those who have a form of godliness but lack the power thereof. And we see that taking place across this nation. And how do you lack the power? You lack the power because of the Word of God. The Word of God, the spoken Word of God, is the power. So continue to seek His Word, continue to speak His Word, continue to uplift His Word. And no matter what you see taking place, speak that Word out against it. He says, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So we have the power to bind. The deceitful lies that's been taken, spoken out there, the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear that's taken over this nation is cast down. And I just want to close with this here a moment, just to encourage yourselves that we were listening to a scientist the other day, a Christian scientist who refuses to, from NASA, and she's not taking the jab, she's not taking the shot. Now, we all have a decision to make, and we can discuss that forever. I can tell you more about that if you want to. But they asked her on TV, she says, why haven't you taken the shot? She said, listen, I'm a born-again Christian. I am the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. My government might own me for 8 hours, but my God owns me. And He'll decide what comes into my body. She's standing on the Word of God. Now, I say that we need to do the same thing. It's not about the shot itself. It's we have to govern what we are bringing inside of ourselves. We have to look at what we are bringing to the temple of the Holy God. We have to see what we're thinking, see what we're saying, see what we're believing, see what we're confessing. That temple of the living God, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, will grow stronger and stronger and stronger, and your confidence will build more and more and more through the spoken Word of God. Don't allow the devil to find a way to get wedged in there. Don't let him try to bring fear into your life. Don't let them try to make you doubt the Word of God, no matter how bad it looks, that God's Word is true, and God is always there. He's always there. We don't understand His ways completely. We have the Holy Spirit to lead us in His ways. But we just trust God that He will work these things out for the good for all those of us who love Him. Seek Him for wisdom. Seek Him for wisdom. We've been doing a lot of research on a lot of stuff over the last several weeks and different stuff and about the vaccines and all this kind of stuff here. If you have any questions, we'll share from our hearts what we've learned. I do know that this immunity that comes from having COVID coming through it is more powerful than any shot you can get. Praise God for that. God does says that no form of disease, or I put it this way, that anything, something even poisonous, we would happen to consume unwittingly, that no weapon will form against it will prosper also. Understand that. Understand that. But we need to stand up for our rights that God's given us and not compromise them and stand together for God's glory. Amen.
A few days ago, I think it was Friday, I wasn't sure if I was going to be the only one here. On my way home from work, I called and they asked, could you bring out a pepperoni pizza? Me being a pizza lover, I was like, sure, I'll do that. Yeah, of course I was going to get me one. So I went out and they were both, I want to reiterate what he said. Physically, they looked pretty battled and beat up and weak, but I could tell spiritually they were strong. So Friday I went out there and I said, hey, you know what, you guys don't worry about it, you just stay here, I'll go. And Angela is sick as well. So it started out, Dad was sick and Mom spoke 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago she had preached because Dad was sick. Well, then that week, Wednesday, it was last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I had to call off work, first time in several years, because I was sick. Angela was taking care of all of us. She was running out to their house, running, getting me stuff. I thank God I wasn't, like, sick. I had a fever, so I had to stay home because I didn't want to give it to anybody else, you know. But she was running around getting all of us things, Powerade and food and whatnot. And now she's down. Her spirits are high as well. But when I went out on Friday, I said, you know what, if you guys can't do it, you just stay home. I'll do it. I think Angela isn't going to come as well. So you were this close to having Zippers, the one-man worship band, me. I would have came up here, I would have had to play and sing. So thank goodness God saved you from that. So, yeah. But I'm going to keep this short because I want to make sure we all have enough energy to make it home as well. But the one thing that I've noticed, because I was sick for a couple of days as well, is that it is so easy to get distracted. And not that you have bad intentions. For me, example, I go to work, I wake up in the morning, I get ready, I go to work. By the time I get home, depending on what happened at work, it could be anywhere between 5:30 and 7:30 by the time I get home. What do? I come home, take my shoes off, get either a cup of coffee or a can of pop or something, sit down, turn on the TV. Next thing you know, a couple hours have passed. Oh, it's bedtime. Time for bed. And that's the day. Nothing in there is technically what, quote unquote, you read in the Ten Commandments, and it doesn't say thou shalt not turn on TV when you get home, right?
No.
But is it something I should be doing? Probably not. Right? It's so easy. I got my cell phone here. Now, I'm not a big Facebooker. I don't. It's just not something I post. I don't enjoy Facebook. But I play video games. I got this. It's a retro football game on here that if I don't watch myself, I can spend an hour playing a retro. It's almost like Tecmo Bowl, if anybody's familiar with Nintendo. It's like that. And next thing you know, an hour is gone. I'm like, okay, wow. What happened to that hour? It's so easy. We have, as Americans, I love being an American. But it is so easy to be distracted and get your attention off of things. So one thing that we need to establish, and for those who don't have a foundation with Jesus Christ, the one thing they're always looking for is, what is the meaning of life? Why have I been created? And because we're followers of Jesus, we know that we are created to have a relationship with God, right? And that's why Jesus came back. That way we could be reestablished with the correct relationship, right? So we know that. Okay, so then if that's why we've been created, that way we have a relationship, why are we still on earth? Well, Jesus tells us, because we need to be here in order to display the kingdom to everyone. Now, that sounds fancy, but all that means is we need to represent and be Jesus on this earth. Because if we're not here, it's not going to happen. Because of our relationship has been reestablished and corrected through Jesus with our Father, now we can be here and manifest the kingdom or represent Jesus, bring about the kingdom to all these different situations. So when someone is sick, we're to be Jesus to that situation. When someone loses a loved one, we're to be Jesus to that situation. The problem is sometimes we try to play the game without practice. You know, Bob and I, we talk about the Indians all the time. We like watching baseball. I pretty much watch any sport. During the Olympics, I even watch curling, you know, where they sweep the... I like competition. I just like watching sports. The one thing you don't see is the guy says, oh yeah, I want to do curling today, and he just goes to the Olympics and wins, right? No, that never happens. Well, you're looking at baseball. There's some guys that stay in the minor leagues for 20 years and never make it to the big leagues. That whole time, though, they're practicing. How about, I'll put something that Vicky and my wife will go, how about crafting? Right? If I want to go to a craft show and I want to sell stuff and make money, I can't just say, you know what? I'm going to go to the craft show and make crafts and sell it. Nobody's going to buy my crafts if I just one day just say, I'm going to make a craft and take it. It's probably going to not look very good, right? There's a lot of practice involved. Years involved. Like quilting and all this other things that I have no idea. I did make one blanket, just so you know. And life skills class, which was home ec in high school, yeah. I still have that blanket to this day. That's my one thing I've made, all right? That's my blanket, yeah. But I can't expect myself to just all of a sudden appear and know how to do everything and be a professional in it, right? That's the same thing with being a Christian. You can't just expect to be in a situation and know exactly what to do if you haven't put in the time and the effort and the work. Now, it sounds counterintuitive when we say, well, don't work too hard. You know, this has to be a Jesus thing. But you're always going to get out what you put in. You know, I don't garden. Probably, if I did, I would probably grow a bunch of weeds because that's what's in my heritage. But I do know this about gardening. If I want to grow corn, I don't plant pumpkins. Right? Exactly. And when you do plant a pumpkin the next season or a couple seasons, you get a bunch of pumpkins. Yeah. But that's the same thing. If I'm wanting to know how Jesus would handle a situation, or I want to grow, I can't expect to just get it one day without putting in the work. Whatever I plant is what I'm going to grow. So even though getting home from work and getting on my cell phone for an hour playing retro football isn't necessarily a sin, but when I'm in that situation and I need that word for somebody, or I need to know what Jesus' voice, what the Holy Spirit sounds like in my head, when I need that and all I have is retro football, I don't think it's going to work. When I speak retro football into that situation, it's probably not going to go very far.
If I called you for prayer, you say, okay, quarterback sneak.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to do me any good. Come on, brother.
Probably not going to work.
Amen.
So we have to make sure we put in the work. What does that mean anyway? Well, for one thing, when Jesus came, there was this certain group of people that knew all the scriptures, and they studied it for years, and they made sure everybody knew that they knew the scriptures, right? Word for word, they could quote everything. The Pharisees, right? We hear about them. And then there's another group, the Sadducees. They all knew what the word said. But the reason why Jesus was always cutting into them, I guess you could say, is because they weren't what the word said. You know, we have to become that word. And it has to be before we need it.
Right.
So, like Dad was saying a little bit ago, when he would just have this, something come over him, and depression and whatever, it's at that moment that he needs to recognize, he needs to have that Holy Spirit, no matter what it looks like on the outside. When you have a relationship with your Holy Spirit and you've been cultivating it and growing it, it doesn't matter what situation you're in. It doesn't matter what voices you hear in your head, because the Holy Spirit is going to highlight and tell you what the truth is. And I will tell you, Satan can sound like the Holy Spirit. He is a deceiver. And this sounds a little confusing, like, oh no, how do I know which one it is? But it's super easy. All you do is spend time with your Father in that word. That's all you have to do. Because I guarantee you, there's going to be a day where you're going to hear, did God really say? It happens all the time. That's what he does. The devil cannot create anything. He can just deceive you and be an imitator of things. So on that day, when he says, did God really say? You can say, yes, he did.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we have to become the word before we need it. In certain situations, those who aren't believers, when they are they expect evil to be repaid with evil, right? Like if me and Bob, neither one of us are saved, and I'm yelling at Bob, I expect him to yell back at me. Because that's what happens in the world, right? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's what you expect. So when we counter that, when someone's yelling at me, and I don't yell back and I display love to them, that's going to be a major thing to them. They're really going to be able to see that. They're going to expect one thing, but receive another. That's the same way with us. You know, because of this fallen world, I expect to go to hell. But I receive heaven because of what Jesus gave me.
Amen.
All right? So, when we're into these situations, like at work, let's say I'm at work, and a fellow employee gets super mad at me and cusses me out, or not even talk to me, goes to other people. This happens a lot, right? Goes to other people and talks with someone else about you. What they expect from you is evil, right? It's for you to get mad. And maybe you go to someone else and talk about them, right? Well, if you're going to talk about me, I'm going to talk about you. And we're going to have our little cliques. What they don't expect is for you to be okay with them talking about you and to not see them differently. So when they're talking about you, and this could be, I picked work, but it could be your family. Family's a big thing. For some reason, it's so easy to be separated in a family. They expect certain things, certain reactions to what they've done. So when we don't react that way, because we know that we weren't reacted to that way, right? In every situation we handle, we have to be Jesus in that situation. So if Jesus didn't get upset with me, because I know he didn't, because I did something against him, I can't be upset with someone else. But these little truths, these little things, we have to have established before we need it. And I'm almost done, because I told you I was going to keep this short. In James 1:2, the book of James, it's really simple. It says, when facing difficulties, see it as an opportunity to experience joy. Now, that sounds weird. That in a difficulty, that you would take that as an opportunity to experience joy. So what would that mean? Well, as Christians, well, let me put it this way. If you have an orange and you squeeze it, what's going to come out? Orange juice, right? If I have an apple and I squeeze it, what's going to come out? Apple juice. If I squeeze an orange and apple juice comes out, that'd be weird, right? So it should be equally weird when a Christian gets squeezed and anything but Jesus comes out. So when we get squeezed, no matter what it is, no matter if it's sickness, if it's a death, it doesn't matter what the situation is. When we get squeezed, everything that comes out has to be oozing Jesus, right? So when the devil squeezes us, he gets Jesus all over him. So in everything we face, every difficulty, take it as an opportunity to experience joy. There's going to be difficulties, we know that. Sometimes we have not us, but especially when we're new, we think, all right, I'm a Christian now. My whole life's going to be easy and breezy. And Jesus made sure we knew that if they came after him, they're going to come after us. Because a slave isn't above his master, right? So we can take these things as joy, knowing that this might be what's happening in the world today, but because I'm here, Jesus is still here. Because you're still here, Jesus is still here. So when you get squeezed, Jesus is going to ooze out everywhere. And never take what you see with your eye as the full value. So in all things, make sure you keep your joy. All right. That's all I had. I wanted to keep it short so we can all make sure we have enough energy to make it home.
Appreciate that, son. Ryan, would you have on your phone the Passion Translation of Psalms 91?
Sure, I got it right here.
Would you share that with us as we close with that today?
Yep.
Psalms 91 is so dear to our hearts. So.
Psalms 91. When you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High.
Yes.
He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence.
Yes.
He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect you
yes.
from false accusations and any deadly curse.
Yes.
His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you.
Yes.
You can run under his covering of majesty and hide.
Yes.
His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm.
Yes.
You'll never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you.
Yes.
Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you.
Yes.
Nor will the powers of evil launched against you.
Yes.
Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed.
Yes.
You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment.
Yes.
For they will be paid back for what they have done.
Yes, God.
When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm.
Yes.
How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm.
Yes.
If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you.
Yes.
And keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness,
yes,
trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me.
Yes.
Because you have delighted in me as my great lover,
yes,
I will greatly protect you.
Yes.
I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face.
Yes.
I will answer your cry for every time you pray.
Yes.
And you will find and feel my presence, even in your time of pressure and trouble.
Yes.
I will be your glorious hero,
yes,
and give you a feast.
Yes.
You will be satisfied with a full life,
yes,
and with all that I do for you.
Yes, Lord.
For you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 And we were in the living one evening having a very tough time, and all of a sudden Carol felt the presence of an angel later. Her hands on her shoulders strengthen her. They are ministering angels. We just give God the glory for it. It's a good word, son. A good word. And what you receive today, you bring into your spirit. It will come back out of you. Amen.